you ready for some steampunk Nazi zombies, buds?
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, bud.
To the Joe Blow Horror Show, where we review, rate, discuss, and break down horror movies, not horror films. As always, I am your host, Boss Tuna, and not with me tonight is Tibu, but he will be popping in, or should be popping in later. However, I am blessed with nuts on my chin by a couple, they're pretty much honorary co-hosts of the Joe Blow Horror Show. We have the sweater vest wearing, no voice, cum in his throat, Jenner Marink himself, Rickles. Hey. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing?
Yeah, you know what? I'm ready to talk some steampunk zombies there, bud.
I'm right there with you, comrade.
Comrade Kamazan. And in the other corner, we have the flesh eater, the beard wearing, the taller than me, Cajun himself, Trevor Jordan Blanchard. Welcome back, buddy.
Yes, sir. How's it going, bud?
He's tired of people pulling out pitchforks and torches in my move. He's got to go up there with you, bud.
Yeah. You know? Yep. I thought all them Cajuns were tiny little men. And then, we had a cuddle session and Trevor's got me by about an inch, not only in height, but you know where it
matters. Yeah, it's but, an inch in girth, but you know it counts.
his balls hang just a little low.
Getting all stretchy and stuff.
If you count that skin tag, anyway.
Yep. Wait, is that? I thought that was his weenus. All right,
that's what some people try to say, but they're wrong.
Yeah, and then you give them the double punch. I mean, you got the DP penetration capability. Anyways,
I'm gonna put my skin tags all the way in you, brother.
Get me in real tight. Disgusting, disgusting. Anyways, bonus episode. Hello, bonus episode alert. Fireside chat minus the fire and minus Tibu, but. Episode, I don't even know. I think this is going to be 106. They might be mixed up because we're not sure when this is going to release compared to the end of the year episode. And last episode, I might have got the number mixed up as well, too. But either way, we're in the early 100s. What are we doing? We are going to be talking about Frankenstein's Army. Kind of a little... I mean, this could be kind of like a Zombie Gem of the Week episode, really.
Oh, for sure.
I didn't really think of that. But anyways, we decided, you know, I'm back. This is a rare weekend where I'm not running around coaching my son's hockey team and in New Orleans with these guys trying to sell my liver on the black market. So, you know what? It's been a minute. We haven't pumped out too many episodes since Christmas. So here you go. Fresh for your ear holes. We have another episode, potentially 106 of Frankenstein's Army. But before we talk about that, we do need to go to the place where everybody knows your name, everybody's favorite bartender. And let's not forget about the special dances you get and the cock pistols. All of those can be found at the Titty Twister. So what do you guys say? Boss Tuna's buying. Let's go see what they got on tap.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go get some Jello syringes.
Yeah.
and pussy in half. Give us an upper on our best selection of pussy. This is a pussy blowout. All right, we got white pussy, black pussy. Spanish.
Speaking of jello syringes, which will be flowing heavily tonight, we have a little something strange for Boss Tuna, because I am doing a little, as Eminem said, cleaning out my closet. And by cleaning out my closet, I mean my beer fridge. So I've decided that I am going to go cold turkey. I'm going sober for probably 2 months, 2.5 months, once I get back from Cancun, which I'll be leaving for in a couple days. I need to dry out, boys. I need to dry out, and girls. I need to get my body back in check, get that gym going. So I'm drinking the ones I've saved. So this is a Confluent Saint Nick. It's a gingerbread inspired ale. This is left over from Christmas. I was saving it for a special occasion, and what a more special occasion than staring at these titties over here with the sweater vest and Mr. Trevor's beard. So cheers, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys enjoying anything tonight, or are you going to be the designated driver?
I'm going with the tall boy Simply Lemonade, that long thick daddy. Oh, blueberry goodness.
That's a girthy blueberry right there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm just rocking Coors.
I suppose gotta keep that cum throat hydrated one way or the other.
Some kind of way.
Yep. So very nice. I've had this Confluence before, and it might have actually been on the show recently. If not recently, then I'm sure I've had it in the past, but it's a good, easy drinking ale. It's about 5.8%, and the gingerbread really comes through. It's kind of surprising. So, but it's in no way, shape, or form tied to the episode at all. You know, back in the day, I kind of used to do that. I would like pair beers to the episodes. I should probably get back into that. So anyways, that's neither here nor there. What's up?
That's a thought.
Yep. It's a thought for next time. So we're going to listen to the trailer for this this gem here, and we'll be right back.
It's not far. If we get a move on, we can be there by noon.
Did you see anything?
Let's move down to the church. What is that?
Don't touch it.
What are you? Only the Nazis would think of something like this. Throwing dead people together. Giving them knives for hands. It's insane.
Come in. Oh, don't be shy. Simple mechanics, engineering. Each one is still alive. It works.
You're insane!
Always misunderstood.
All right. Frankenstein's Army is a 2013 film, rated R, coming in at 84 minutes. I could not find anything on the budget, but I've got an idea where I think this was. I'm curious what you guys think the budget for this film was back in 2013.
I think it was at least $3 billion. At least has to be
billion with a B.
Yeah. No, I think it's probably higher than we're expecting to make a period piece of this quality. And with all the effects and costume and shit, it's got to be up there.
I think I'm going to roll with a cool 10 mil, right? Not too much, but more than I would expect, because if you watch the movie, you think, man, low budget, even as a period piece. But I think at least a double digits, right? At least 10 mil.
Okay, so that's, I was wondering where you guys were going to come in. It's a little bit higher
than
I'll
say five.
I was going to be in the 3 to 5 range. I was going to be 3 to 5. I did, I mean, I'm getting into the trivia here a little bit, but I did some research, and this was a co-development between the U.S. At the time, the Czech Republic, and the Netherlands. And it is a period piece, and it was shot overseas. And there was some CGI in it, but those practical effects, man, that ain't cheap to do that. So I was thinking, 3 to 5. But I could I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, was edging in the double digits for that. So what do you guys think? If you didn't check, this got on IMDb for a user score.
4.2.
Yeah, I think I'll split the difference at 5. You know, I think people will like it, but not love it, and kind of borderline hate it. So
5.4. Kind of surprising, huh?
That's a little bit higher, yeah.
Yep. I think this is one of those where I should check. I will in a minute. I don't think it's got a ton of reviews, and it's one of those that's not marketed, and I don't think a lot of people have seen it. So I think that it kind of surprised a lot of people, and it's one of those like niche films where it's word of mouth, because you know, we'll get into it, but I think kind of that's where it's at. It's definitely higher than I thought.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the kind of movie that you have to go looking for, right? Like, it's not something that you're probably going to hear about, but you could be like, you know what? Let me just see what kind of like mustery kind of, maybe zombie-ish kind of films I could see for cheap, right?
I've looked into, you know, just like the marriage between war and horror movies before, and I've never heard of this one until today. So
I got a good story with it when we get there. So 5.4 on IMDb, which is the user. What do we think this got for critic score on Rotten Tomatoes?
350.
Yeah, I'm going to go 45%.
Yeah.
35 and 45.
58%, buds.
Whoa, really? Higher. It's higher.
This is certified fresh.
I like it. Yeah, finally. I could not poo-poo them.
Yep. So this was written and directed, partially written, by Richard Raphorst, or Raphorst, pretty much his only feature. He's got some shorts and some other stuff in there as well too, but kind of surprising. I you know, should have done some more research to figure out why. But this was also co-written by, I'm gonna try to get this, Miguel Tejada, Francis. Anyways, he is actually pretty legit when it comes to his writing credits, because he was behind, as far as horror goes, Screamers and Beyond Reanimator. So,
oh shit.
Starring a handful of character actors, nothing that really caught my eye. Robert Gilliam is Navakov. Han Ping Tong, true story. Han Ping Tong, he was Ivan. Alexander Terentyev as Dmitry, and Luke Newberry, so that's a very Russian name, as Sasha. The trivia I have on this, so a lot of the robotic monsters were actually inspired enemies from Resident Evil Village. The example is Propeller Head as well, too. This was in development forever. I want to say this was in development for close to 10 years. Before it finally got made, lots of hiccups, and they finally got the director, and then there is a new writer, and the story had changed as well too. So, but you know, finally, it's one of those that got made, and then most of the effects are actually practical, which I'm sure was fairly evident. But you know, there was some CGI, but obviously most of it was practical. So, That's what I got for the trivia. Do you guys have anything to add before we get into kind of the review portion of it?
No, that's all I got there, comrade.
Yep, comrade, I, Thomas, huh? Yep, I agree.
And gracing us with his 4'3" presence, we have Tebu. Welcome, Tebu. We're glad you could make it, buddy.
I'm barely here. I'm not going to be here for the whole thing, but I want to say I love you, Boss Tuna. I love Ricky, and I love Trev, and I love all y'all, but I won't be here for the whole goddamn show.
Yep.
Y'all are talking about a monster movie that I never heard about, so fuck all you fucks.
Did you actually end up watching it, or you?
No.
Then okay.
No, I didn't watch shit. I've had my kids the whole weekend.
Oh, dude, you should watch it with your kids tomorrow. It's dope.
I won't be able to, but I agree. It would be dope.
Well, yeah, you should watch it because I really do think you'll enjoy it.
I love it. I'll tell you that right now for free.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not reminds me, but that's what I had next. I was curious if any of you had seen this or even heard about it before you watched it for this episode.
Negative. And I'm not looking for shit like this, and I still didn't find this one.
No, never heard of it. Never saw it. I was surprised and happy that it was on Tubi and also Amazon Video for free.
Yeah. And freebie. It's free out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been around for a decade, so, you know.
Well, let me tell you a little something. So, I stumbled upon this. I want to say, so, trying to think the timeline here. I think this is right when I moved down to Iowa. And there was a, you know, the town I'm in is a tiny little town. And this was before really all the streaming services were out there. You know, there was a couple that that you could get, but everybody was still, you know, Hulu and Hop, or not Hulu, Hopper, and you're recording on your movie stuff, right? So this was when red boxes were popping. And I remember the Dollar General in town got a red box, and I would go there a couple times a week, and I'd get movies. And this was a red box movie. So I remember renting.
No shit.
Yep. And I watched this with my brother-in-law. And we were both tuned up. I think we just got back from the bars or something. We watched it. And I'm like, that was really fucking cool. And I remember the next morning, I was, you know, sober at the time. And I popped it in and I watched like maybe the first third of it. And then we got busy and I had to, you know, you have to bring it back by 6 p.m. or whatever, so you don't get charged at 2 days. So I saw it one time when I was inebriated, and I saw the first third of it. And I remembered most of it and I knew what it was about, but it's been on my radar forever. So when we were talking about doing a little bonus episode, I was scrolling through and I gave these guys three films to choose from.
And I chose Slugs, by the way. Just saying.
Yep, Slugs. I figured you chose that because you saw this and you're like, fuck, I want to watch this and record about it.
No, I chose it because I fuck all y'all. That's why.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Yep.
Sounds about right. Slugs, hey, stay tuned for the next Joe Blow.
We should do Sallow also.
Yeah, I want to do Sallow so bad.
Sallow, like, 100 whatever days of Sodom.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. And I like that someone insanity. Said in the Discord, we need to wait for Travis for that. And I'm like, goddamn right you
Boss
do.
Tuna said it. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Goddamn right you do.
I never read this movie. Or synopses, but I was like, 1975. I read that, and that's when I was like, yep, we need Tebu for this one. I was like,
yeah, bro.
Reading that synopsis made me feel like I was going to get red flagged and put on a list. So,
yeah.
It's so fucked up. That movie is so fucking dark.
Have you seen it, Travis?
Up. Yes.
Oh my God. Shit.
Okay. Okay.
The only reason I know about it is because Cradle of Filth apparently based one of their music videos off of it. And when I saw that, I was like, okay. And this was years ago.
Yeah.
I gotta go look up this movie. But I still never got around to seeing it.
It's so dark and fucked up and it's not your typical, like, you think you know about movies from the 70s and shit.
Right,
but
right.
This is like way more fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I read the full synopsis. I know what actually happens.
Yeah.
I've just never seen it.
It's fucked up. And it's worth talking about. But tonight, y'all are talking about some other bullshit that I haven't seen, so
you
I'm
should
sorry.
Watch it.
I will, but I haven't tonight, and I'll cry off before y'all get into it, because I'm not gonna fucking sit here and pretend like I watched it. But I did want to jump in and fuck everything up.
Yeah,
Debbie,
very nice, very nice. Again, this is a bonus episode, Fireside Chat minus the fire. So we're not going to break it down scene by scene, but we're going to give this its due diligence. And it's been a while since I said this, but if you haven't seen this, you need to go watch it. If you are into steampunk, if you are into practical effects, if you are into period pieces, if you are into gore and Nazis and Russians and war movies and awesomeness, all the boxes. It checks all the boxes.
I wish I would have seen this in prep for the episode, but I unfortunately did not get a chance. I had my kids this weekend, so I didn't get a chance to watch this movie. But I will say, before I sign off and let y'all fucking hammer this movie down, I love y'all very much. I'm glad y'all are all hanging out, and I wish I could be here for it.
You are, though. You're here for the part that matters. It's the love fest, and when we all play cracker.
Yeah,
bud. Oh, we're playing cracker, are we? Okay. No, I love y'all, and I hope y'all have a fun time talking about this insane-ass movie, Frankenstein's Army, that is going to be a 10 out of 10, I'm sure. Good night, well, everybody.
You're not far off.
Good night, bud.
Yeah, bud.
I love y'all.
Love you, buddy.
Y'all have a good time.
Love you too, bud.
Love you, bud. Later.
All right, bye. So a little synopsis before we get into this. In the dying days of World War II, a battalion of Russian soldiers is lured into the secret lab of a deranged scientist and forced to face off against an army of horrific flesh and metal war machines. I feel like I just want to put out like a heavy metal song and then just put scenes of this fucking film in it for the video, and it would just be awesome.
I agree.
Okay.
Very much.
So, first thing first, we got to talk about the monsters in this, or the creatures, or whatever. They call them zombots in the film. What'd you guys think about the creatures or monsters? How would you describe them?
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, fucking awesome.
is my first take. Like, I like how there's several different ones. I like how they're fucking steampunk as shit. And also zombie, right? I will say they might not be very good at aiming, though, because when they're trying
they're
to
definitely,
sli- yeah,
they don't really have eyes.
Yeah, they don't really have eyes, and like whenever they go after the camera guy, they swipe at him 100 times and don't really hit him.
It feels very cutscene from a video game. The whole movie feels like you're playing Resident Evil.
Yep.
Yes. It definitely has video game vibes. I will
and
agree with that.
Let's put it out there right away that this is a found footage film.
Yes.
For the most part. So, if you're into found footage, this is a must see. And I feel like a lot of people have never even heard of this, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, I mean, I didn't hear about it until you were like, hey, what do you want to watch? And I was like, Frankenstein's fucking army? Yeah,
you're
that sounds
you're
like
the
it
first
would be
one
amazing.
That, yeah, Trevor was the first one that was like, yeah, we doing that one.
For sure.
What I noticed right away, this had great imagery and set pieces right off the bat. I was like, yep. Rewatching it, I forgot how awesome it was, because it starts out in the forest. So essentially we have a team of Russian soldiers that are on a mission to destroy, I think it was like a mortar nest or something, a Nazi mortar nest. So you get that cool, like World War II type setting, and you get your military type stuff. But then it transitions to some really great set pieces with dungeons and old buildings, and like this film, unless you would have spent an extra, I don't even know how many millions of dollars on set pieces, this just wouldn't have been able to be filmed properly in the United States. This had that Eastern European feel to it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So as far as some of the monsters, some of my favorites had to have been What is it called? The plague doctor, I guess, is what I called him. I mean, he kind of looked like a plague doctor, but instead of a beak, he had a fucking drill.
You talking about the guy on stilts?
Yeah.
He was my favorite.
Stored stilts and shit. That guy was 10. The doctor's on.
Yep. Oh yeah,
the Dr. Zombot with the fucking heads hanging off of his back, like just keychains or some shit. That was fucking sick.
And I like the little retarded ones too, bro. Like the one that doesn't have a head. It's like it looks like a fucking pot, like a round pot.
Oh yeah, just legs. Like a barrel. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
just
like that one. I like all the really autistic ones too. I was like, this is great.
Well, they had like the chick head one that was connected to a teddy bear. To a teddy bear. Things. And yeah, I was bro, like, what the fuck?
What you think the doctor was doing to that teddy bear, dude?
A lot.
Yeah.
The noises she was making.
That's why I thought it. Yeah. I was like, the doctor's fucking that teddy bear chick, man.
Let's get into our kind of cast of characters, because the one thing that I wanted to bring up. So basically we have, who's the Novikov or whatever is kind of the leader. So we basically have a cameraman, and then we have the sergeant or whoever is in charge. And then we have a couple, other, you know, corporals or whatever they would be. How about the character of was it Dimitri? Who was the asshole one?
Was that Sergey?
Yeah, it might have been Sergey. Yeah, it wasn't Sasha. Sasha was at the end. Right. Dimitri. Yeah, Dimitri was.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
That, he was a prick throughout the entire thing.
His character was. You always know when a character is written well and acted well when he drives you nuts. And
yeah.
I hated him so fucking bad, and he annoyed me so much.
From the beginning.
Yeah. Yep, from the beginning. Because, like, how many times after, you know, the sergeant or whatever, Novikov, died, that you wanted to just put his head through a wall? Because he was just...
Like, every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time he opens his mouth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, Vasya. Vasya is his name. Is Vasya.
Okay, Vasya.
Yeah, Vasya. Yeah, he was a great character. Yeah, they really, really made you hate him. And then, yeah, you got the Dimitri, who is kind of the camera guy, and he's the envoy or whatever, if you will. Right. But, yeah, so the story is actually fairly interesting, because I have heard of, you know, when I was just kind of doing my research, the one thing that people kind of poo-poo on is the story. And I felt the story was... I mean, it's nothing to write home about, but it was serviceable, at least.
It gets you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the motif of the story is something that's not irregular, right? I've seen it 100 times probably. But that with that being said, that's just the beginning, right? Like the whole World War I, Nazis, Russians, some kind of weird science thing. I've seen that plenty of times. Not original. But honestly, the plot line's actually pretty good. I mean, it's there in the title. It's Frankenstein's Army. So you know what you're kind of getting. And it delivers.
Right.
So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, I don't see why you would have any complaints.
I missed a lot of plot points, and it did not affect my viewing. I still enjoyed what I was seeing.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about the intro, but... They take out that sniper nest, and then they get these signals of a Russian squad needing help. So then Novikov kind of changes the plan. Is like, hey, we're going to go check on these, and that's kind of their next mission.
Yep. So they're traveling into what is it, Unit 303?
Yeah, it was like bears on
or whatever. Yeah, it's like Bear 303, and they got to travel. They're the only company in the area that can go and help them out.
Yep. And they get up to that town, and it's cool. Like, they're, again, the imagery is fucking awesome. You run across dead Nazis. You run across one of them, that skeleton that had, you could tell that was like a Zombot there. That was pretty fucking cool. It was like a Zombot skeleton. They're like, what
the fuck is that?
Yep. Yep, and then the burn nuns and shit. I mean, that was pretty fucking gnarly, right there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The how about when they get into that village, and again, just a credit to Vasya and how much of a fucking dipshit he is and how much you hate him. He goes into that pen, he grabs a rabbit and just starts beating the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Wow. Well, he generally tends to beat the shit out of everything.
And I heard the dogs. At first I thought he was doing that to a dog. I was like, oh great.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, so they come up on that villager, and you know the villager. It's funny because he was kind of like the harbinger, was like saying everyone's gone, everyone's either dead or they ran, and he was like, you need to go, you need to get away. And then that fucking dildo Vasya just gets his head. First he shoots him, and then he beats the shit out of him, and he fucking cuts his finger off, and then he's like, I'll take you there. And he fucking led them. So, I mean, again, a very stereotypical character in Vasya. In films like this need that character. But again,
right,
he's the linchpin of all the bad shit that's about ready to come.
Yeah, and even then, you can't really say that he's wrong. Because, like, the guy was lying to him. And then once he chopped his finger off, the guy's like, oh, I'll take you there. But the guy was lying to him because he just didn't want to fucking go. Right? He was like, I know what's over there. Yeah, he's like, I know what's over there, and I don't want to do that.
Yep.
I like the fact that he was telling him it's his job to feed the animals.
Yep. Yeah.
Little devil entendre.
Yeah. Yep. My job to feed the animals. And it's not all that far in the movie where you get your first glimpse of, because they you get that blind, you know, they turn the power on and shit, and you get that blind
naked.
Yeah, she kind of reminded me of one of the Silent Hill nurses a little
bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys were talking Resident Evil, but yeah, I definitely got Resident Evil and Silent Hill.
Yeah, I'd make a little pass on it, sure.
Yep.
I definitely thought about Silent Hill first I saw her.
With that one, yep, first, yep. And then maybe a transition to the Resident Evil later. But yeah, they're in that fucking that corridor, and you just got like, I mean, these would be great. I feel like this movie missed its mark. It would have been a fucking 80s masterpiece. Just think of all the cool action figures and shit you could have, you know, you got your little army Nazi guys, and just think of how awesome these would be as action figures.
Definitely. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is where, I mean, I said we weren't going to kind of go on scene by scene, but there are so many like key points with this I want to talk about. We almost are. That disembowelment that Novikov endures was
awesome.
Just dope. His guts and fucking intestines hanging out and shit.
I like how they're like, they stretch and so far they're like 10 feet away. People are like walking on them and shit.
Yeah. And this is I did say 84 minutes. So this is a very short film, and a lot is packed in, and when I watched it this time, there was no like downtime, you know, maybe you can even say the first like 10 minutes, but again, you're just kind
of but once it building. Starts, yeah. Once it starts, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long for like the plot to start to really hit. Right. Yep. It gives you a little bit of time to learn the characters, and then it's like, all right, time for fucking Nazi mecha robot zombies.
Yep. Just... Yeah. Once he brings him down in that tunnel, it's game on. You get down there and they run into some other. I mean, it's again, this is a very formulaic movie, but everything plays out and it works so well that it doesn't feel like you're, you know, painting by the numbers per se. Because I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of elements in this that have been done 1,000 times before, but when you take steampunk in World War II and these crazy fucking Nazi zombies, I mean, that's a recipe for a fucking delicious film, if you ask me.
But yeah, well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what really sells this movie for me is the way the Nazi robot zombies look, right? The set pieces, like if you really enjoy like the practical effects, because I'm going to be honest with you, the CGI, I didn't really notice it.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking for it. But when I first saw the zombies, I just thought, man, these are some great practical effects. And I can see where they might have added some stuff. But, like, I didn't really notice it. And I was sold when I first saw the first couple ones. I was like, Fuck yeah. I don't care if this movie is like the plot started out basic, right? And then once I saw like the actual, you know, Frankenstein's monsters, Nazis, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm here for that. That's what I'm here for.
Oh yeah. I could see McFarlane Toys making a fortune off of making these models, these toys.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they're like 20 or 30 years too late of like really raking in the money in the heyday.
Sure.
But, you know, and honestly, I'm with you, Trev, where I really didn't see and they say that's a credit to good CGI. I just read that there was CGI in it, but mostly practical. And again, I can't stress how important this is. This movie would have been fucking ruined with CGI because it's one of those things where if you don't have the budget to do good CGI, then, you know, like some of those fucking Tubi turds and fucking Amazon ones where the movie is just by, you know, your Sharktopus and stuff like that. You're like,
yeah,
it just takes me out of it. But on the flip side, you could see some of these, like I saw a couple times where there was a rubber fucking sword or rubber knife and it just looked but hell, I don't give a fuck because it's,
I'd rather see the fucking strings.
100%. 100%.
I'd rather see the fucking strings than CGI that looks bad.
And it's
100%.
It's one thing I've thought about too, and I don't know if that's just our generation where we grew up with, because there wasn't CGI when I was a kid, when I was younger watching this, that's what it was. I mean, you got your fucking Godzilla's in a rubber suit and you know, you're.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they would go to punch and their arm would wiggle. You know what I'm saying? Like unnaturally.
Whole suits jiggling.
So, but like it's the production value of this movie. When you're first watching it, you can tell it's a cheap film. So, like the highlight of the movie is the actual, you know, monsters themselves.
Oh yeah,
and that's where I feel like they really thrived.
Another cool gore scene that comes up shortly is so they run into some actual Germans that are hiding out. And you got a female, a kid, and a couple soldiers, and they're, you know, Vasya, that prick character, he just wants to kill everybody. And she convinces them, hey, let me help your friend. Don't kill me.
I'm a nurse.
The friend is the big guy, the Hong Tong Peng. I forgot what his name was in there. He was Ivan.
Yeah.
You get the one character that has the fucking lobster claws, and he like crunched his head. So his helmet is like crimped onto his brain and he's all fucked up, like he's whatever. And you get this awesome scene where she's like, I'm a nurse, let me help him. Well, she like pries this, and you know something bad's gonna happen, but I didn't expect
you can hear it. Yeah.
She pulls his helmet off and his fucking brain's sitting in there just like a fucking jello mold inside of his helmet. Sorry bud, you ain't gonna make it. That was a pretty legit, and it was slimy too, like when she pulled it off,
it looked good.
Oh yeah, definitely
it looked great.
One thing also that you don't get with films like this, or maybe you don't get it as well played out, was the twist, I guess you can say, kind of like the little reveal that we have as far as how they end up in the situation with Dimitri. So did you guys see that coming at all?
Not at all. No.
I felt like he definitely had a bigger part to play than just being a cameraman from the initial, like, first minute of the movie where he's kind of setting up and he's like, for the glory of Russia and all this other shit. But I didn't think it was gonna twist like that.
Yeah. So the twist we're talking about is we find out that the cameraman is actually a full-fledged captain in the Red Army. And he outranks everybody. And he says, I was sent here to basically capture the doctor because they knew he was fucking around with these experiments. And they're trying to get him to work or whatever for them and use his experiments to turn the tide of the war. And you're thinking, well, it'd be real. And it's small stuff like this that answers like the plot hole questions, because they didn't have to put this in. But they were like, if you don't follow my orders, we have all of your family's names and you know where they live.
Right.
Yes. Look, I appreciated that he said that.
Yes.
I really did.
Again, it's small things like that that make a big difference, because if they didn't, you know, I would see people sitting there like, well, that's a loophole. Like, why would they just not you know, whatever. And to turn it on itself, they kind of did go against him because they pushed him down that fucking chute. But before that, we get we get a kid death. You know, there's those monsters
That's
down there.
So amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, they straight up putting that little Hitler Youth motherfucker through the hole, bro.
Yeah, and you can see shit's going on down there, and you can hear fucking just something
saws and machinery and shit going wrong.
The only thing that would have made that better is if they pulled, because they're down the chute and he's got him by his ankles and you don't really see it happen. But the only thing that would make that better is if they pulled him back up and it's just legs.
By his stumps or something, right? That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it looked like something you'd see at a Guar show, you know, big hole for someone to go in and then only thing that comes back is a stump.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was a fucking, that scene made me laugh. I forgot about that too, so I thought that was pretty sweet. But anyways, yeah, so you find out Dimitri was jamming the signals because as soon as the signals were coming in and Dimitri knew kind of, okay, we're in the vicinity, he was jamming all the incoming and outgoing signals. And so that's kind of how they found out. But yeah, they threw him down that fucking little pleasure tube and we're like, fuck you, you're on your own.
Yep.
But once he gets down there, it's just nonstop. It's nonstop. You get all the fucking creatures and all that gooey goodness as far as that goes.
Yeah, that dude from Slipknot's crawling around on the floor.
Yeah. Just like pushing carts around with fucking dead bodies and limbs and shit hanging out. That was pretty fucking badass. Eventually, I mean, we're pretty much at the end of the film because we have the team separated in, you know, obviously with this being found footage, we don't follow Vasya and Sergey and whoever else anymore, because I think it's just those two left, right? Push down the tube.
Vasya, yeah, it's Vas, Sergey, and what's that other boy's name? Sasha?
Yeah, Sasha.
Or Dimitri. So it's three.
Dimitri is the
four.
Camera guy.
So it's Sasha's the young guy.
The young guy, yep.
Then you have the asshole, and then you have
Vasya and
the Polish guy who is the highest ranking officer until the cameraman reveals himself as a captain.
Yep. So we don't know what happens to them, and we're following Dimitri's story, and he's just running around, and it's just fucking mayhem in there, and he ends up getting knocked out. And he awakens to Dr. Frankenstein, we find out. And it was his grandpa who was, you know, the original kind of Frankenstein. And you get this little kind of backstory on how he left because they didn't appreciate his work and all this. And he's got this cool fucking little laboratory set up. And he's got minions walking around. He's got fucking Rickle's favorite little...
Yep. You know,
stump little bucket walking around. That's kind of like
bucket man running around making cool noises.
Yep. You get that one chick with the white, she reminded me of like the Cell. Do you guys remember that?
She, thing? Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I would make a pass on it. I liked her.
Yeah.
Lay a bead on that.
I'd lay a little bead on
you
that.
Would lay a little bead on that.
No, that was a cool ass costume though. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely was.
Yep. So his whole goal is to try to get him to come back with them, and it ain't working out too well. And he has his own idea as far as how he's going to end the war. And you find out that he ended up capturing Sergey and Vasya, and he was like, "Who's the better communist?"
I love it.
He ended up taking a brain of a Nazi in a brain of Sergey, and he was going to like meld them together to, you know, end the war, create whatever. And at this whole time you hear the Red Army's coming in. The ending I thought was pretty fucking cool. It was a little bit unexpected because I forgot about Sasha. I don't know about you guys, but I just, you know, he didn't really play a big role throughout the rest of the film. So I kind of forgot about him. But you have Dimitri tied up to the table. And you got like the asshole Vasya has got his arms and shit cut off, and you're like, fucking good on you. And you get the the fused brain of Sergei and the Nazi.
Yeah, once that boy comes back, he is just violently autistic. He's pulling his skin off his head, screaming at the top of his lungs.
There are some great effects too. Like they showed two close-up scenes of that saw cutting the scalp off, and you get another brain. And like, dude, they're playing around in the brain. I'm like,
dude, I love when he has both halves together and he's like, it's almost perfect. And he just pulls a little bit off on one side.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, he's like, oh, we got a little bit too much here. And it was hilarious because like 5 minutes after I finished that film, I went and I was like trimming up my brisket and I'm sitting there doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, we got better. But yeah, no, yeah. And again, just you could have ended the movie right there, but that put that little cherry on top because Sasha came and he could have saved Dimitri. But Dimitri was kind of, you know, he's kind of being a prick, so I don't blame Sasha. But yeah, he fucking he shot and killed the doctor, and then he cut his fucking head off as like proof that he is dead. And he just left him, and then Sergei comes and kills Dimitri, and then the film ends with a picture of Sasha standing next to Stalin. You know, he is like the wartime hero.
Yep.
It's like fuck that.
He was the final girl and he made it.
Yep, it was hilarious.
Oh yeah,
fucking hilarious.
I also want to say I appreciate the music, like the opening with all the found footage and the fucking USSR anthem and shit going, and the dude, like, it's all so dope, so well made.
Yep. So that wraps up the review of that fucking insane Nazi zombie fucking steampunk shit. Anything else you guys have or want to chat about or anything before we get into the final thoughts and ratings?
No.
All right.
We covered everything.
I'll go first and I'll let you guys take us home. So this here was a bit of a surprise to me. I remember liking it when I saw it, but I haven't seen this in probably 10 years. I'm sure I saw this right when it first came out. These are the type of movies I have a hard time rating because I want to be objective, but also I want to, you know, rate it on the fun and the entertainment factor. But ultimately, what I fell for was the entertainment factor. When you take in the fact that this was a period piece, it was, so I love period pieces, especially war movies. I'm a huge proponent of practical effects. I feel like every other episode I go on some fucking diatribe about how awesome practical effects are and how CGI is worthless. So again, it's another note right there. The creature and the monster designs would, I hope Tom Savini has seen this and just enjoyed the gore factor. And I just hope that everybody can just appreciate how awesome it was. The creature designs, the monster designs, the gore, the writing was surprisingly done well. I thought the story was exactly what it needed to be. There were a couple surprises in there. There were some good twists. The only thing I would say is they did try to fit a lot in a small amount of time. For example, I feel like another 10 minutes with the Nazis that they found would have, you know, I don't want to say benefit or help, but it would have been interesting to get a little bit more of their story, or maybe like a flashback scene of kind of how they got there, or even a little bit more of a flashback on Dr. Frankenstein and like the creation of the characters and stuff, just because it's such a fascinating idea and world that we're in over there. All in all, the entertainment value of this is sky high, and this is one that I am excited to show my buddies, and it's going to go into our fall camping trip rotation because I think like this is one that you need to watch with your friends because you're going to be sitting there.
Hell yeah.
You see that? And you're going to be laughing and stuff. So I'm not giving this any type of special rating. I'm just saying this is a straight up 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Hell yeah, dude.
Rickles, you want to go first? You want me to go first, bud?
I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
I'm going to be echoing Boss Tuma a lot. I hadn't seen it before this, but I've been looking for this movie for a long time. I'll put it to you that way. I feel like this movie is nearly perfect for me. It's not a perfect film, but the subject matter, the effects, the period piece, the time, the setting, the gore, the fucking costumes, the music, from the moment it started, it was just drawing me in, and the smile never left my face. I'm coming at this one with a 9 out of 10.
I fucking love it.
Nice. Hell yeah, buddy. Hell yeah. So I think generally when I rate things, rewatchability is one of my number one factors. If I can rewatch the movie, it's an automatic five, so you already made halfway there. If I want to tell my friends to watch it, then you're bumping it up to like a six at least. The production value was good as far as the period piece was concerned, the costumes, everything like that, but you could tell it was low budget. The acting was meh, really, if you want to be
I
honest
agree.
about it.
I agree.
But like I said, I think what really sells you on this movie, and what I was really looking forward to in hopes of seeing just from the
Exactly.
title, was
Yes.
Frankenstein's army. So I want to see this army. I want to
Exactly.
see the
Yes.
steampunk, the zombie-esque, the undead, I want all
Right.
those things to happen. And this movie really sold that shit, right? So I can't give
It
it a
gave you
10.
what you wanted.
Yes, but it gave me
Yes.
exactly what I wanted and what I
Right.
expected. And more than what I expected, really. So I think I'm gonna
Right.
come in hot with an eight also with Boss
Hell
Tuna.
yeah. Right.
I would love to watch this again with friends, like you said. I think this is the kind of movie that you tell people to watch.
For sure. And I
So.
agree that the rewatchability of this is high because of that. It's
Yes.
like, oh shit, you never seen Frankenstein's Army? Bro, you're about to watch some little
Now.
freak
Yes,
stuff.
yes, yeah.
Nice. I'm glad you guys loved it, and I'm sad Tebu wasn't here. We're gonna make him watch it, and I'm probably gonna make
Yes.
him watch it tomorrow, or
You
whatever the next
should.
movie. He's got to check it out, definitely before he listens to this. So,
For sure.
but we have an 8 for Boss Tuna, a 9 for Rickles, and an 8 for Trevor, and that wraps up episode 106 question mark of Frankenstein's Army. So. Stay tuned. We, again, I don't know. This one might be posted before the end of the year episode. We'll see. Travis is the one that's editing that. And as you guys heard in the last episode, because that's already out, by the way, I'm not sure if you guys, well, I mean, this is gonna be weird. We're like breaking the fourth wall, but the antiviral episode was posted and released today. So,
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't know that. Let's see.
yes.
Nice.
So,
Oh,
yes.
okay. It's right there. I see it. Okay.
Yep.
I'll go and
So,
listen to it.
yep. So,
Yep.
yeah, stay tuned. It's either, yeah, I don't know. We're talking kind of in the fourth wall here. But, anyways, anything you guys want to leave our listeners with before we sign off?
How's about this? Go check out the nightclub. Me and Trevor there.
Oh, yeah. Pimp the
Travis is
Show.
there. Cody's there. Boss Toon is there sometimes. We'd be talking about movies and shit. And join our Discord.
Hell yeah. And look forward to the end of the year episode we have.
Yeah.
For sure.
And
That's coming out.
that's coming out. And join our Discord. We talk about poop a lot in there. It's a blast.
Check out Fixie's Playground.
Hell yeah.
That's
Come
Trevor's
check
channel.
us out. Yeah, we're gonna be doing a death penalty episode in the next month,
Ooh.
probably. Yeah,
Some
you're
good
invited,
ones.
Boss Tuna.
Yeah.
So I gotta
Hell
get
yeah.
everybody's availability, but it's been on my mind a lot, so
That's I love controversy. I'll talk about that.
hell yeah.
Yeah, we all have like our own podcasts, but it's almost like we're swingers and cucking, you know. It's like
Yeah, boy.
we're always
That's
with each
right.
other. You know, Travis is in the cuck corner right now, watching us three just snuggle and eat popcorn and lick ketchup out of Rickle's beard from the hot dog.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
boss.
Dude, you know
Anyways.
those Salt Life like decals for the trucks?
The what?
Yes.
Salt
Yeah, I know what you're
Life?
talking
Oh,
about.
Salt Life. I thought you said Salt Lick.
Could y'all imagine a cuck life decal? Like,
oh, I would love
one?
It.
That would be fun.
If yeah, not, it's like waiting. It's like sitting there waiting at a food truck at 2 o'clock in the morning and paying way too much money for basic food.
Oh my god!
And which we did.
I went over and I like
that place cucked us bad, but yeah, it was worth it.
Yeah. I negotiated and haggled down that old woman for a couple bacon wrapped hot dogs. That was
hell yeah. Look, I'm not gonna lie, that hamburger was better than I thought it would be. It was still basic. Should be.
When you pay $10 for a hot dog,
They actually seasoned it. I was surprised. Like, it was salt and pepper.
The fries
and I was like,
were
okay.
Seasoned good, cousin. Yeah. I was loving the fries. Nothing beats the Cajun Dragon, though. That's my favorite restaurant in the world now.
Yeah. I've been telling people about that one.
I miss
Cajun Dragon. Shit.
Yeah.
Cajun Dragon on Bourbon Street. If y'all are in the area, check it out. Dude, they serve gumbo in fucking coffee cups. Like, literally.
Yes.
Yes.
Disposable coffee cup with the lid. Yeah. And it's that gumbo is a fucking 10.
Their po' boys are good too. I don't care what anybody says.
That shit Boudin egg rolls.
All right, folks. And with that, I hope it was as good for you as it was for Tebow. But he bitch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Use your GPS to find the hotel, Travis.
That was incredible. Is it good for you?
I've had better.
Where's my snare? I have no snare in my headphones. There you go. Yeah. Yo, yo.
Have you ever been hated or discriminated against? I have. I've been protested and demonstrated against. Picket signs for my wicked rhymes. Look at the times. Sick is the mind of the motherfucking kid that's behind. All this commotion, emotions run deep as oceans exploding. Tempers flaring from parents. Just blow them off and keep going. Not taking nothing from no one. Give them hell long as I'm breathing. Keep kicking ass in the morning and taking names in the evening. Leaving with the taste of sour as vinegar in their mouth. See, they can trigger me, but they'll never figure me out. Look at me now, I bet you're probably sick of me now. Ain't you, mama? I'ma make you look so ridiculous now. I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet. I got some skeletons in my closet, and I don't know if no one knows it. So before they throw me inside my coffin and close it, I'ma expose it. I'll take you back to 73, before I ever had a multi-platinum selling CD. I was a baby, maybe I was just a couple of months. My faggot father must have had his panties up in a bunch. As he split, I wonder if he even kissed me goodbye. No, I don't, on second thought, I just fucking wished he would die. I look at Haley, and I couldn't picture leaving her side. Even if I hated Kim, I'd grit my teeth and I'd try to make it work with her. At least for Haley's sake, I maybe made some mistakes, but I'm only human, but I'm man enough to face him today. What I did was stupid, no doubt it was dumb, but the smartest shit I did was take the bullets out of that gun, cause I'd have killed him. Shit, I would have shot Kim and them both. It's my life, I'd like to welcome y'all to the Eminem show. I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
Nah, I would never diss my own mama just to get recognition. Take a second to listen, fool, you think this record is dissing, but put yourself in my position. Just try to envision witnessing your mama popping prescription pills in the kitchen, bitching that someone's always going through a person, shit's missing, going through public housing systems, victim of Munchausen syndrome. My whole life I was made to believe I was sick when I wasn't, till I grew up. Now I blew up, it makes you sick to your stomach, doesn't it? Wasn't it the reason you made that CD for me, ma? So you could try to justify the way you treated me, ma? But guess what, you're getting older now, when it's cold when you're lonely, and Nathan's growing up so quick, he's gonna know that you're phony. And Haley's getting so big now, you just see her, she's beautiful, but you'll never see her, she won't even be at your funeral. See, what hurts me the most is you won't admit you was wrong. Bitch, do your song, keep telling yourself that you was a mom, but how dare you try to take what you didn't help me to get. You selfish bitch, I hope you fucking burn in hell for this shit. Remember when Ronnie died and you said you wished it was me? Well, guess what? I am dead, dead to you as can be. I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you, I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you, I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.